The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Hey, the Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you'll end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet, this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. Today we're going to look at the essence of my message regarding prayer. Overview. Over the years, I've written a significant amount regarding prayer and published significant lists of prayers as evidenced on the prayer webpage. It therefore seemed appropriate to consolidate all of these writings into one coherent document aligned with my present understanding, hence the document on which this broadcast is based. We'll discuss a range of principles, starting with the right heart, attitude, and words. I'll advise you to avoid presumption. We will note that a prayer is a petition in the court of heaven. We will discuss authority in the name of Yeshua and also prayer in the name of Yeshua. I will stress that prayer is not prescription nor demand. It will be noted that Yah can only move on earth through the prayers of believers. I would advise that short and to the point is frequently most effective. You will be advised to give yourself and your life over to Yah and seek his direction. It will be stressed that Yah is not a performing seal and we are not glove puppets. We will talk about one flesh bonds and about being taken out of the formal assembly. Finally, we will speak about sensitivity and obedience. Then we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a consultant and business manager. I have over 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty. Following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy of the Church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Mission Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and podcasts for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio. There are at least four podcast websites which have got the historical copies of all the broadcasts. So today my message is 2022-0603, the essence of my message regarding prayer. Over the years, I've written a significant amount regarding prayer and published significant lists of prayers, as evidenced on the prayer webpage. It therefore seemed appropriate to consolidate all these writings into one coherent document, aligned with my present understanding, hence the document on which this broadcast is based. I'd like to share an update from May 2022, important clarification regarding prayer to be spirit-led. Please see the page, The Essence of My Message, Street Not a Glove Puppet, and The Myth of Led by Yah Every Second of Every Day in Every Possible Way, for an update regarding my thinking of some of what is offered here as recommended prayer. This is really important. So folks, we have a want, need to believe that somehow Father is manipulating and controlling and directing our lives at a fairly detailed level. As a general principle, this is not the case. He created us to rule on earth. He will give us wisdom. He will give us guidance. If we're young believers, he will take us by the hand and lead us. But as we become mature, he expects us to exercise our intellect and discretion and make decisions and so forth. So you've got to be careful about saying this is Yah's plan for me, or this is Yah's will, or Yah's leading me this way, because a lot of the time you're mistaken. So I want to talk about some principles, and I want to start off with the right heart attitude and words. The Almighty says effective prayer relies on the right heart attitude and the right words. I've heard people pray and say things to Father that just are not appropriate. He wants us to come to him humbly, meekly, gently. He's our daddy, our Abba, our Father. He's also the creator of the heavens and the earth, the eternally self-existent one. He deserves respect, folks. He really deserves respect. So you need to come to him respectfully, realizing that he's hugely powerful. He could snuff you out at the click of his fingers. But he doesn't do that because he wants us to determine where we're going to end up in heaven. So I really want to encourage you in what follows. It's not just about the right words. It's also about the right heart attitude. It's also about wanting to please him. It's wanting his will to be done. I hope that makes sense. Don't just storm in and say whatever you feel like saying. Give some thought to who he is, who you're speaking to, and treat him appropriately. An extension of that point, to avoid presumption. For many years, I've prayed along the lines of, Father, help me to be led by your Spirit every second of every day in every possible way. At the time of writing this, I made a very bad business decision, assuming that I was being led that way. Initially, I was angry with Father. When I first got on my knees to ask what went wrong, he pointedly told me that I did not ask his opinion, so he was not able to help me. In due course, I came to a place where I was calmer, and on further inquiring, he pointed out to me that we are called to rule on earth by his Spirit, which requires that, as he has said to me many times, James, you are not a glove puppet, meaning that we have to exercise our own discretion and judgment. So just because you're praying, Father, help me to be led by his Spirit every second of every day in every possible way, does not mean that he's actually granted that prayer. Don't presume that he has. I encounter a significant number of people who are convinced that their lives are playing out according to some script that Father has written years ago. And therefore, that if things are going badly, it's because Father wants to teach them something or test them in some way. And if things are going well, it's because Father wants them to go well. Folks, it's not the case. If things are going badly, it's because you've messed up. If things are going well, it's because you've done well. Father wants to bless you and prosper you. He can only do that if you cooperate with him and work with him. And if you just stumble along day by day, believing that Father's leading you in everything, you're not going to do what's necessary for you to prosper. So accordingly, I want to advise a correction in the advice I've given on the website previously. Do not pray as I've indicated above. Note that for the same reasons, there are limitations on prayers like open the doors you want to open my life and close the doors you want closed and bring the people you want into my life and take the people you do not want in my life out. These prayers are applicable to new believers and inexperienced believers. They're not applicable as you grow and mature and are expected to take responsibility for your actions in life and in service to Father. It's really important to recognize that we must exercise discretion, judgment, and discernment in our day-to-day decision-making, both in general living and commerce and ministry. Apologies if you've taken me at my word and been praying as above and making decisions accordingly. It's a very sobering experience a few years ago when, at the time that I wrote this, I really was going forward believing that things were happening because Father was making them happen. And then it turned out it wasn't the case. And I'd done some really unwise things that caused me substantial pain and substantial loss in some cases. And big wake-up call. So if you are carrying on your life believing that Father's leading you in everything, sorry, folks, it's not true. If you want something to happen, you need to ask for it to happen, and you need to do whatever you need to do to make it happen. You're called to rule on earth, not to be a glove puppet, not to be manipulated and controlled. Then petition in the court of heaven. Prayer is petition to the court of heaven. A petition to a court is called a prayer. Thus a prayer is a petition to the court of heaven, that is to Yah himself as the judge of all the earth. You should not pray to Yeshua. There are prayers that are extremely powerful and prayers that are of some value, and the vast majority of prayers are meaningless or presumptuous or so wrong that they're sinful and can open the door for demonic attack. Note that fellowship with Father and conversation with him is not prayer. It is fellowship or conversation. Prayer is specifically when you're requesting something that needs an action on the part of Father to your benefit or to the benefit of someone else you're praying for. I got involved in a court case in about, 1998. And one of the things I learned in that court case was that the document of what I appealed for from the court, was called a prayer. That was quite an eye-opener, and I've since become increasingly aware of the throne room and the throne, etc. If you read the book The Final Quest by Rick Joyner, where he's taken up into heaven, you'll get a very clear picture of the prayer and of the throne. And so it's important to understand that when you pray, you're going before the court of heaven. Yah is the judge. Yeshua is the advocate. The satanic and demonic realm are the prosecutors. You're going to court and you're saying, Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to do this for me or to do that for me. So you should come humbly and respectfully. Then authority in the name of Yeshua. Note that you can only pray with authority in the name of Yeshua once you've gained a revelation of the authority that he gained through his sinless life and death, and that he delegated that authority to those who follow his example and leadership and serve the Almighty faithfully. See the article, The Miracle of Yeshua's Death, Jesus' Death, on the website. One of the things that I think very few people understand is that the biggest miracle in Yeshua's life was that he lived for 33 and a half years and then died a terrible death without sinning once. Because he died without sinning once, he became the firstborn from the dead, he was instantly resurrected, and he was instantly granted the most powerful position of any created being in heaven. Along with that came the authority over Satan, because by living free of sin, he had gained authority over Satan. He delegated that authority, Yeshua delegated that authority to those who follow him. And by implication, if you want to exercise that authority, you need to be free of sin. There's a sloppy attitude to sin in many, many believers. Yeshua died so that you had a way to easily repent of your sin, but fundamentally you're required to live free of sin. I can't stress that enough. If you do that, you have authority over the satanic and demonic realm. If you slipshod about sin, you can try and use the authority of the name of Yeshua, but it's not going to get you very far. Then prayer in the name of Yeshua. Only prayers by new believers and with regard to combat against the satanic and demonic realm should be prayed in the name of Yeshua. All other prayers should be prayed directly to Father Yah. This is what I've been saying for quite a few years. I've recently come to the conclusion that there's no harm in praying in the name of Yeshua more widely. And so I've kind of relaxed the constraint that I've imposed on myself in that regard in the last few months. So I do use the name of Yeshua in prayer, because he did die that terrible death for us. And he did say, if you ask in my name. So he will petition on your behalf if you ask in his name. So I apologize for that. I would say you can pray in the name of Yeshua more than I've indicated in the past, and in fact, more than even that I've indicated in this document that I'm sharing with you today. So I encourage you just to really get a grip on how powerful Yeshua is and what he achieved through his sinless life and death. And I want to stress that prayer is not prescription. It's not demand. I said this earlier, prayer should be humble. It's not prescriptive, presumptuous, or demanding. Many mistake prayer in presumption for prayer in emunah, prayer in faith. The most effective prayer is with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. But this is only possible when the Spirit moves on you to pray in this manner. One short prayer in this heart attitude inspired by Father's Spirit can achieve major breakthroughs and movements. I've had a number of occasions where things have been really, really difficult, and I've sobbed my heart out before Father and said, Father, I can't take this any longer. Please do something. And in each of those occasions, he has moved. He's done something dramatic. Most notable about that was at the end of my first marriage. I'd been married for in a relationship for 24 years, married for 18 years. My wife was verbally abusing me, manipulating me, abusing the children verbally. And I just couldn't take it any longer. I said, Father, just please get me out of this. Find me a woman who will be a mother to my children. And literally in the space of about 4 weeks, Father revealed what was going on. He gave me the confidence to file for divorce. And he brought a woman into my life who was a wonderful servant of his. And we consummated the union not long after that. I wasn't prepared for what happened with the church. But the point was that my prayer, my in desperation, was answered. And I'm not saying that you should work up desperation. That only happens. It's something that comes from Father, comes from his spirit, that broken spirit and a contrite heart to really cry out to him. But as a general rule, you should not be telling Father what to do. You should not presume that because you've prayed in faith, it's going to happen. There's a delicate line between emunah, faith, pray as you pray, believe you receive, and being presumptuous about that. So you can give thanks. You can say, Father, I thank you that you have answered my prayer. And at the same time, don't just go and do stupid things because you think that your prayer is going to be answered. Yah can only move on earth through the prayers of believers. It's vital to recognize that Yah gave all authority on earth to Adam, who then proceeded to give it to Satan. Yeshua regained this authority, but immediately handed over to those who followed him. This Yah can do nothing on earth save that a son or daughter of Adam first prays that thing into existence in the name of King Yeshua. Thus, if you're truly in tune with Yah, you may find yourself praying some remarkable and even unsettling things. Expecting Yah to do something in your life if you've not first requested it and give him permission is futile. Father, you're not a glove puppet. Father's not going to manipulate things to your benefit without you asking him to help you. If you want to have a change in government, the only way that Yah is going to get involved in that is if it's his will. You can pray what you like. The fact of the matter is that you find in any electoral situation that there are a whole bunch of people who are praying for the one president or the one political party, and there are a whole lot of people on the other side praying for the other political party, and they're all praying, Father, let this one win the election. And sobering thing is that Father is indifferent to that election, unless he has some reason. I've been impressed by Father on two occasions to pray about political circumstances, where Father said, if this happens, if this one becomes president, it will cause more people to draw closer to me, which is not the reason why people are praying for that person to become president or that outcome of that referendum or whatever. So you need to get close to Father if your prayers are going to be really effective. Then short and to the point is frequently most effective. Yeshua spoke against praying with many words. Pray concise and to the point prayers. Lengthy prayers prayed with your understanding are likely to get in the way of Yah, not help him. He needs crisp, clear prayers that give him maximum room to act. The prayers that I'm going to talk about in this broadcast and the broadcast to follow accord with that recommendation and collectively represent a very powerful and effective set of prayers that I've prayed with greater or less regularity, mostly for over 2 decades, in fact, close to 3 decades in some case, and more to significant effect. Frankly, if you're not praying most of these prayers regularly, you're unlikely to be really serving Father in any meaningful way. The key point is you need Father to help you. So you need to respectfully ask him to help you. And you need to believe in faith that he's helping you. But if you're praying for financial breakthrough, that does not relieve you of the responsibility to manage your finances carefully and not to spend money you don't have. Many, many years ago, I fell into the trap of believing, believe you receive, but as you pray, believe you receive. Believing that extra finances were coming in, and on several occasions I did some really stupid things because of misplaced faith there. Give yourself and your life over to Yah. Seek his direction. One of the most important decisions that one can make as a believer is to recognize that one knows so little and understands so little, and prayers prayed with your understanding and a life lived according to your understanding are likely to be at best futile and at worst highly destructive. Once you've reached this realization, the next thing to do is to understand that the best solution is to ask God to take charge of your life and give you direction by his Spirit. And just to clarify that in the light of what I said earlier, you can ask him to guide you and what have you, but you still have to exercise your will. You have, if you know, it's no good lying in bed and saying, Father, I thank you that you pour out millions of dollars in my bank account. It's not going to happen. If you want to earn millions of dollars, you better get out there and get a really good job and work really hard. And then maybe it'll happen. Father will give you wisdom. He'll give you favor, etc. But, you know, and also it's got to be something that's within the, in your capability and your knowledge and experience, your competence to do. He's not going to click his fingers and pour out blessings on you. Just not going to happen. And the verses in the Bible which lead to that interpretation, so you've got to be a little bit careful there. When I pray to Yah formally, usually at the end of the day before going to sleep, I generally open, Father, I thank you for this day and for your chesed and your chen, your love, your loving kindness, your mercy, your grace, your favor. I ask you for wisdom and understanding in all that I do. I see the above as foundational for day-to-day living. At the same time, take note of my opening caveat that you're not a glove puppet and you must exercise your will, discretion, and judgment and take responsibility for your actions. Chesed is covenant love, your love, loving kindness, mercy, grace, and chen is favor. I use those words in preference to the English as a not on a slavish level, but where I can, simply because they're richer and there are some elements of mercy, grace, favor, love in English that are a little suboptimal. So it's not a big deal if you use them. And it's nice for Father if you use chesed and chin. So if you ask for wisdom and understanding, it'll help you to do things that are wise and productive and potentially make you a very profitable servant, employee, business owner, etc. Those prayers are not enough. You still have to exercise your discretion. You need to be thoughtful about what you do. You need to be careful about how you manage your money and so on and so forth. And then Yah is not a performing seal. Many of the prayers prayed by most people instruct Father as to what he should do. That's not acceptable. regarding to those prayers, Father has said to me, I'm not a performing seal. So I want Joe Bloggs to be president. Or I thank you, Father, that you will make Joe Bloggs president. Unless you've spoken to Father very clearly and established that Father wants Joe Bloggs to be president, you're walking in foolishness, presumption, and at best your prayer is not going to be answered, and at worst you're going to bring judgment on yourself. It's not your place to dictate to Father what he should do. You can ask him, you can petition him. There's an Afrikaans word, smeek. Father, ek smeek jou. I prayerfully and submissively implore you to grant me this petition. You've got to be very careful there. People get into familiarity. Familiarity breeds contempt. And they just don't treat Father right. So I just want to share that with you. I've been down that road. I've made that mistake at times many years ago. I like to believe I don't do that anymore. But it's a delicate line, because you've got these teachings which say, as you pray, believe it. As you pray, believe, you receive. And whatever you pray, you can have. And you just got to be careful, folks. We're not glove puppets. I've talked about this. As noted earlier, Yah said to me, James, you're not a glove puppet. In other words, we're required to exercise free will and discretion and work things out and not presume that Father will drive us like glove puppets. It is important to keep in mind when praying and when considering life with Father in general. One needs to learn to hear Father and then go to him and consult with him. I can't stress this enough, folks. The only reason that you exist, that I exist, is because Father wanted friends, wants friends. And friends don't just blunder around doing things, assuming that their friend is in accord with them and supportive of them. Friends talk to friends. Consult with friends, ask their opinion, do things in alignment with one another. The fundamental piece about what we're talking about here with friends, with prayer, is that Father wants you to come to a place where you can hear him clearly, and you can go to him and say, Father, should I take this job? I was thinking of taking a few weeks holiday. What do you think? And he might say to you, that's fine. He might say to you, I would postpone that a little bit. There's some things happening in your work situation where it would be favorable for you to be there. He wants to be part of your life. He wants you to ask his opinion and ask for guidance. Why then should he manipulate you if you're not talking to him? Doesn't make sense, folks. Then I want to talk about one flesh bonds. There are a range of important prayers for provision and protection. The exact wording may vary depending on the extent to which you have faith for these things. However, note that if you are one flesh with one or more other human beings and they're not in close alignment and harmony with you, what you're believing for and doing, these prayers will constantly be frustrated by hindering spirits, demons that obstruct the flow of finances, blessings, etc. Remember that a house divided against itself cannot stand, and conversely, unity is strength. Where you have illegal or residual one flesh sexual bonds, see the article relating to the separation of a man and woman for a complete set of prayers and procedures to cut these. If you look under the men and women page, you'll find there's men and women and family, and under that, separation of man and woman. Folks, casual sex for a believer is just out of the question. It's going to dig you into a deep, dark pit. Once you one flesh with somebody, yes, there are certain circumstances where Father will grant divorce, and that's not the subject of this broadcast, but it's going to mess with your life. If you're an unbeliever, it really doesn't matter who you have sex with and when you have sex. Whatever. You're an unbeliever. You're serving Satan. So what does it matter what you do? If you're a believer, the satanic realm will use whatever you do sexually to manipulate and impact your life. So even phone sex or WhatsApp sex or Zoom sex or Team sex or Skype sex or whatever is out, unless it's in the context of a lifelong relationship. Where you have legal ties, you need to work out what you need to do to get the person or persons with whom you have those ties into alignment with you if you're the male, for you to get in alignment with them if you're the female. Until you do this, your prayers will be hindered. This applies particularly to finance. Note that if you're one flesh with another who's not serving you, or one who is but who gets into fear, rebellion, treachery, etc., the anointing will be drained out of you and you will become weak. Conversely, there will be limits on the extent to which you are able to answer prayers under these circumstances. So I'm talking about a situation there a moment ago where the man is leads and the woman is in submission. If in your life you want it the other way around, that the woman leads and the man's in submission, as long as you agree those terms and then you stick to them, that's between you and Father. There's some reason to believe it may not work very well, but there are cases where it does work very well, and that's not something that I'm going to get into a debate with you about. If you want to say, well, neither of us is in the leadership position, well, you can try that, but I think you'll trip over it in time. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter what you say, what you believe, if what you say and what you believe is contrary to Father's commandments, is contrary to the laws of the spirit realm, you're going to get into trouble. The forces of darkness will see to it. Then being taken out of the formal church or the formal mosque or the formal synagogue or the formal temple. Once you start praying the prayers that I'm going to share with you next week, it is probable that if you're still in formal religion, Yah will take you out very quickly. You also need to worship regularly, not feel-good worship, definitely not worshiping Yeshua or Jesus, but worship that lifts Yah up and makes him feel good and that humbly requests him to move in your life, etc. Refer to the webpage Recommended Worship Songs for a collection of songs that I've used for years and keep coming back to. See also some powerful worship songs and other webpage. There are many others, but not many that have the significance and anointing that those listed here have. Every now and then I come across one or two extra songs which I add, and they're on the powerful worship songs page. Father did not intend us to belong to a particular religious group, a particular denomination, a particular sect. He intended us to have a deep personal relationship directly with him. So as you start to get close to him, he's going to say to you, come out of her, my people. Whether that's the church, the mosque, the synagogue, the temple, it doesn't matter. Any formal assembly of people where there is structure and organization such that there is a man or woman at the head who's giving direction and teaching to the people underneath him. By all means, listen to the teachings of others, but do not become subservient to that person. Then sensitivity and obedience. Praying the prayers is not enough. You need to be sensitive and obedient. Yah can start closing a door, but you can storm through it or block it open or ignore it or whatever. You can ignore his voice. You need to practice hearing his voice. You need to get on your knees or your face so you can hear better. You need to do things because you think you hear his voice. If you think Yah has spoken to you, then act. If you're unsure, then ask for confirmation or guidance. But if it's not a massive issue, then just tell him you're going to do what you think he's told you to do and do it. And check in with him if you did it right. Ask him to guide you to close and open doors, etc., as appropriate. Spending hours or days or weeks checking and double-checking is not helpful. Walk by emunah, faith. Just do it. The critical thing, I say again, Father wants a deep personal relationship with you. The single most important thing for you to do in this life is to develop that relationship. To become sensitive to him, to become obedient to him, to become his friend, to become his confidant, to become his partner, collaborate with him, and do his will. And if you ask him for something, assume he's granted what you've asked for, and be sensitive to whatever's happening, and work with it. With regard to expecting other people to confirm and advise you, if you're young and inexperienced, well, maybe for a while. But Yah wants you to hear him and obey him. It's better to do something because you think Yah told you to do it, but are not sure, than it is to not do that thing because you're not sure. And obviously, I'm not talking about sort of high-risk, silly things. Yah wants obedient servants. And servants do not argue with their master. Yes, we do, but that is not what Yah wants. There's a fine balance here, folks, between on the one hand being a servant and the other hand being a child, and on the other hand being a friend. Now, there are not many people who are friends, but that doesn't alter the fact that Father wants you to become his friend. He passionately wants you, whoever you are, wherever you are, to become his friend. He wants to talk to you. He wants to advise you. He wants to get your opinion. And he wants to use you to pray things on earth that he wants done. So you go through a progression of being a servant, of being a child, of being a friend. The things that you can do as a friend that you can't do as a servant. And there's a dichotomy that at the same time that you're a friend, you are also still at some level a servant. So don't get into presumption again. So, folks, that's all I've got time for tonight. I'll continue with that next week. And I want to close by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. The key piece here, folks, is why do you exist? Why do we exist? Why does the planet exist, etc.? And the answer to that is quite simple. Millions of years ago, Father was lonely, and he decided to create beings that were intelligent, that could exercise free will, and who would be these friends that he could talk to and do things with. And so he set about, he created a mass of matter, he created the Big Bang, he created the universe, he created the different solar systems, he created this solar system, he created this sun, this earth, and then he got the atmosphere right on the earth, and then he started by creating simple plants and more complex plants and simple animals and more complex animals, each one an incremental experiment in as he explored how to create something that was really pleasing to him. And finally, he created us. If you don't get that, it doesn't really matter what you do with the rest of your life. You're going to be seriously disappointed when you die. So on the website, various web pages, video, Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components and Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, The Essence of My Message to Christians, also to Jews, also to Muslims, also other faiths and unbelievers, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcript of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and drop podcasts on the drop down, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. As I said before, if you search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio, you'll find about four podcast websites that have the back issues. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published from 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. There are about 2,500 articles in the article database. There's over 1,000 web pages. Folks, if you are looking for information, there's probably a fairly good possibility that you'll find it on the website. Google search particularly useful. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. So, as I've just said, the sole reason that you exist, that I exist, is to become a friend of the Creator. It does not matter your race. It doesn't matter whether you're African, Asian, European, Caucasian, whatever. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, tall or short, thin or fat, educated, uneducated. Doesn't matter whether you're Jewish, Christian, Muslim, Zoroastrian, yoga, Buddhist, Confucius, Baha'i, whatever. Father wants you to become his friend. He wants you to lay down your life and say, Father Yah, I come to you. I want to become your friend. Help me to become your friend. He will take you by the hand wherever you are. He will meet you wherever you are, and he will lead you down that journey, and I'm here to help you. Thank you so much. Good night.
Father, I